Hi, everybody. Welcome back to our podcast, Ins and Outs of Selling a Business. Today, we're fortunate to continue our discussion on the exit plan, the planning process, your roadmap to a successful transition from your business into your next chapter. So we're very happy to have back Dennis Horrigan from Connecticut Wealth Management. Dennis, I can't thank you enough for coming back. I know you have a lot on your calendar, but you know, you brought up some really interesting and critical discussion points for business owners to think about on our last podcast. And I think we'd love to maybe take another step further today and talk about maybe some of your stories about how you approach it and some of the results and your interaction with your clients, if that works for you.
That would be great. Yeah, it's great to see you again.
Good. So, you know, we talked about, you know, you guys have a very holistic approach, mm-hmm. Very customer-centric. It's a core competency, your exit planning. And so, and how you kind of go about it. So, you know, it's never a direct path A to B. It's always, you know, a lot of things going on. And not just one business owner, especially when there's family involved that maybe not be in the business, but they're involved.
Oh, yeah.
Right? And or you have a partnership relationship. So I'd love to hear, you know, a couple maybe war stories or good stories, I should say, about, you know, good conclusions about how you guys navigated the field, so to speak.
Yeah. It's
the road.
It is it's so fun. You know, it's always fun just getting to know people, families, their stories, their situations. I do feel like what we do is therapy. I went to college for sociology of all things and thought I was going to be a social worker. Mm. And I kind of feel like I am. Kind of feel like I'm a social worker, a teacher, a coach for business owners. And it's really fun. So I would say our clients come to us in business owner clients come from one of three different perspectives. Sometimes they come, they have an offer in hand and they say, oh my gosh, I've got, I'm about to get this big fat check. Can you help me navigate the tax impact, the estate planning impact, of course, the investments? What do I do with my investments? And we help them, yeah, with all that stuff. Of course, that's what we do. Taxes, estate planning, investments, but also helping them map out what the future is going to look like. How are they going to spend their money? How are they going to spend their time? Are they emotionally and psychologically ready for that next chapter? That's one scenario. Another scenario is they come to us 5 to 7 years before exiting because they think, you know, I probably should start working on an exit plan. That's great. That's really fun. That's when we actually get to dig in deep and prepare them personally, their personal finances and the business for whatever that eventual exit looks like. And then the third type of situation is someone that we've just been working, a business owner that we've been working with for years. Maybe they're just getting to that age where we will continue to bring up, hey, let's look at all the different options that you might have for exit so we can start honing in on which one makes the most sense for you and your family. So there are kind of three different pools of business owner clients that that come to us. I'll give you an example of one that happened a couple years ago. Great business owner client, great wife, awesome family, really fun, funny, nice, and successful. So we're sitting with the husband and wife, and the husband had bought a boat a couple of years earlier. And as we're talking with them and asking them questions like, how's your work-life balance? You know, are you consumed with the business? Do you have enough time to spend with your two sons and they're watching their soccer matches? You spend time with the family the way you should? And the husband, the business owner, said, yeah, I think I've got really good balance. It's great. You know, I can work when I want and see the family when I want. And the wife looked at him and said, when's the last time you were on that boat? How many times have you been on the boat? And he had been on the boat once in 2 years. So that's why we like to have both spouses in the room.
You need that perspective, right?
You need perspective.
You listen to one, like, yeah, we have it all the time. Same thing, bring the family together. It's important we... working with an ownership group to sell that everybody's in the room.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because you need to get the whole story.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right? And you got to kind of puzzle. You got to kind of piece it together.
Yeah.
It makes sense. Okay. Now I understand what's really going on.
Yeah.
Right?
We used to work with an executive coach at the firm who was famous for saying you can't read the label from inside the bottle, meaning sometimes you need to have someone from the outside take a look at you and actually tell you what's really going on. So in this case, husband thought he had great work-life balance.
Right.
But from the outside, the spouse was like, no, you're not spending enough time with the family. So that was great. It was great. It wasn't contentious. It was kind of an observation that we could then build his the next 5 years of his business transition with that in mind. That was one of his goals. And that was one of these situations where he owned two different businesses. He intended to have one of his sons take over the business. Son was 12 at the time.
Mm.
And, you know, who knows what that 12-year-old's going to want to do in 10 years. So we started to look at the two businesses he had. One was consuming a ton of his time and not very profitable. And one was not time consuming and was profitable. So we started to look, you know, for us, the intersection of the business and the personal financial plan is where the magic happens. So we said, well, let's see, if you sell that one business, you'll have an influx of cash that will allow you to hire the appropriate leadership on this other business, a CFO, head of marketing, head of operations, that would allow you to spend more time on the boat with the family. And yeah, maybe in 10 years, Junior could come in and take over the business, or maybe not. Now you have a strong leadership team that could perhaps take over the business. So all that started with a conversation about what's your work-life balance like? And it kind of a plan unfolded from there. And that has been a really successful engagement or relationship. Both husband and wife are big fans. We have a measurement tool we use in our office, which is the hug factor. You know, how many of our meetings today ended in hugs? And I got to say, it's probably 90%+. Because we get so involved in the families and their business that we become friends, become almost part of the family.
Yeah, it's an emotional time. And the fact that you are open and transparent, honest about it, you know, gives a lot of comfort.
Yeah.
You know, it's interesting. You were saying, like, you know, business owners work in these silos. Mm-hmm. You know, they're focused for 10, 20, 30, 40 yep. years, and this is what they do. But when they're in that silo, they're thinking about, you know, I'm not that young anymore. I got to start thinking. Their phones are ringing,
yeah.
right? People, you know, fishing out their email. Hey, I want to have a conversation. I want to do this. And you're like, well, maybe I'm not ready for that conversation, or maybe I should pick up the phone. That's how I started mm-hmm. this podcast, and not just selling your business. Don't pick up the phone until you,
yeah,
right? And there's a laundry list. Mm-hmm. A mile long of things you need to think about. Because once you pick up that phone, the stress level, anxiety goes through the roof, and you're not sure how you're going to get to that, what road you're going to take,
yeah.
and whether you're not going to get to the right destination,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
And so a lot of things go into it, but you know, you have this perception, hey, my son or daughter is coming into the business. Mm-hmm. But you know what? Statistically, less than 25% of businesses transition to the second generation, and less than 13% go to the third generation. And that's because they have their own lives.
Yep.
And you sent them to college if they wanted to go to college. Mm-hmm. And they decided they want to be a psychiatrist or a social worker
mm-hmm.
or doctor or lawyer or what or engineer, whatever. And so I want to live my life. Another thing I think what it comes down to is that they see over the years what you've done.
Yep.
And how you lived your life running your business, and they're observant, they're your kid, they're like, I don't wanna do that.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I don't wanna live my life that way. I wanna have fun, I wanna separate, and it's a generational thing.
It sure is. Yep.
Yeah. Right? Gen X is different than Z, you know, millennials are different than, you know, baby boomers. And, you know, that whole mindset has to play into these conversations because you kinda, he's coming in.
Yeah.
And like all of a sudden, he's not coming in.
Yeah.
What am I going to do, right?
Yeah. So, yeah, the baby boomers who own so many of the businesses right now, and I think I quoted a statistic before that 75% of business owners are looking to get out of their business in the next 10 years. A lot of those are baby boomers.
Right.
And baby boomers are kind of the creators of the 60-hour work week.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's kind of what we do is we work 60 hours a week. And millennials who might be taking over the business are more focused on work-life balance.
Right.
So how, if you do find a millennial that is ready to take over your business, they're not looking at the 60-hour grind of a work week as something that's very palatable. They like the income that the business can generate, but they don't want to work 60-hour work weeks. how do you get from 60-hour work week to a 40-hour work week, keep the income, have the business continue to grow? It's leadership. It's you need to have the appropriate leadership team in place that can allow you to not work 60 hours a week as a business owner. So that's a lot of work that we do with business owners too, is let's talk about your leadership team. Let's talk about who's in charge of finance, who's in charge of marketing, sales, operations, you name it. And we kind of do a deep dive in each one of those folks and say, you know, we did one recently, pardon me, where the head of sales, we have a scoring system that we use with these folks, and the head of sales, the business owner, gave him a 2. Okay. Well, and he was 58 years old. So he was the second on the back nine of his career.
Right.
And he was a 2 out of 10. And we said, well, maybe if you replaced him with somebody else that was maybe a 7 and might be younger, you wouldn't have to be so worried about sales. And he said, that would be great, except that's my brother-in-law.
Well, that's the thing, right? You're going to sit down at the dining room table during Thanksgiving and you don't want to feel uncomfortable. So you make sacrifices.
Right. Yeah.
That's affecting the value of your company because of the personal family relationship.
Absolutely.
And that dynamic can be, you know, detrimental.
Yeah. Yeah. And how, you know, business owner, in-law, how do you have that conversation? Lo and behold, the gentleman that was in charge of sales, that was a 2, was totally unhappy. He hated his job, which explains probably why he was performing as a 2 out of 10. And all he wanted to do was get bought out. He wanted to retire. So we were able to kind of negotiate and navigate that conversation so there wasn't bad blood. Both parties were happy. The
right.
business improved, the employee's life improved, the business owner's life improved, but they were so afraid to have that conversation that all it did was fester, and it kept the business owner up at night saying, oh my gosh, what am I going to do with him?
It's that lack of communication.
Yeah.
Right? You don't want to, especially with a family,
mm-hmm.
right? Which festers and eats away at you and affects not only your business health, but your personal health.
Yep.
So, I mean, I have a situation right, years ago with a client that, you know, he had, you know, multiple parties in the business. I didn't know it at the time, but, you know, he was divorced, he had a second wife, he had stepkids, he had cousins, and they had a lot of different last names. It wasn't just Smith. It was Jones and so-and-so and everybody else. Like, and I got in there, so I go, there's like 20 people here out of your 50, they're family. Like, okay, right? It's like, or some connection. Like, it just took a whole different perspective of how we're going to, is everybody on board?
Yeah.
You know, where are we going to be at?
Yep.
How are we going to do this? I mean, so, you know, it's one thing to plan. You know, people think about planning. They think about financial planning,
mm-hmm.
right? Exit planning. Yeah. Okay, I'm going to plan. This is what I want to do. These are my goals. This is what I want to get.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm done. But it's a windy road.
Sure is.
A lot of bumps in it that you have to, you know, navigate and manage to get to the end game, right?
Yeah.
I could sit here for hours and tell you about stories about this. Yeah. And like, yeah, we're at the tail end of it. We're at the last, we're on the 1 yard line, right? You've spent 10, 20 years, you know, you're at the 1 yard line, right? You need that. It's a heavy lift now to get over the goal. And I had this conversation the other day with a client because he was grumbling about legitimate. He was upset. So look, okay, I get it. And we'll manage that to your comfort level, but we can't just say no. Right? I said, you're at the 1 yard line. You put 40 years, you and your wife sacrificed, and you got to put that last piece of effort.
Yeah.
Is a heavy lift.
Well, and
you need a team behind you to get there.
Yeah. Cause I think you do a great job of cautioning business owners too, that the push to get over that 1 yard line cannot distract you from operating the business, because you may have a business that has, you know, great recurring revenue, has great earnings. And if you take your eye off the ball of managing the business because you're so focused on the transaction, all of a sudden the business, the impact of the business is significant. So the buyer on the other side is like, well, wait a second. Your revenue is down 15% because the business owner was so focused on the transaction and the transition that it can blow the whole thing up. I think the number is, and you know better than I, but Bankers Association said like 50% of people that go to sell their business do not. That it doesn't happen for one reason or another.
Yeah, 50% of businesses don't sell. They just go away.
It's crazy.
It's a huge number.
Yeah, yeah. And sometimes it isn't just because of, you know, family strife or partner strife or a buyer saying, I don't know, strategically it doesn't make sense
There's
anymore.
So many variables.
So many variables. We had a,
you know, i.e. COVID.
Well, I was just right? going to say, we had a story recently, a phenomenal business owner, a great business. Really, really interesting. The guy was a genius, and his business, I don't want to give too much away, but his business was related to the healthcare industry, pharmaceutical. And he had a buyer in 2019. And negotiated for a couple of years. It was pretty thorny, just because it was a complex business. And then Congress passed new legislation about how they were going to fund, finance, and provide tax benefits to certain parts of that industry. And the business dropped in value by about 60% overnight.
Right.
Because Congress made a decision. So the deal was done. The gentleman is back working in the business, trying to build it back up to get it to a point where he can, in fact, exit.
Yeah. The best laid plans.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
That road.
Yeah.
It just, there's always detours.
Yeah.
Cautions, everything else. So. So, Dennis, before we wrap up today, we talked about, the exit planning process of Connecticut Wealth Management. I'd love to give you a few minutes to talk about, overall, your business, from a holistic, from a perspective of how you guys operate. And, you guys have grown. We follow each other, and I see articles, and you guys have grown. You and Kevin has built this thing into a wonderful, growing high level, competent, business. I'd love to hear a little bit about, just about you from a high level about Connecticut Wealth Management.
Thanks. We've been, it's been quite a ride, and we are super grateful for the success that we've had. I will tell you, this was not necessarily our plan. So it's been 14 years. We used to be part of an accounting firm. We were the wealth management arm of an accounting firm, and we felt like we could perhaps operate it a little bit better, a little bit differently if we were out on our own. So we bought a client base, and we built it how we thought a wealth management firm should be built. And I mentioned to you last time we were together that one of the key components of that was being financial planning centric, because most firms just focus on investments. Second was operating as a team, because the collective intellect of everyone in the firm coming to bear on a client is way better than just Johnny talking with the client. But the third, and I think most important, was we had no conflicts of interest. And embedded in that statement is, I don't get paid. Me or nor anyone in our firm gets paid to generate revenue. We get paid to retain clients, to make clients happy. So that structure allowed us to be really, really genuine in our relationships with clients. So our mission statement is, we want to make life's aspirations come to reality for our clients and our teammates. We don't call them, I'm not even allowed to use the word employee. Right. We have a dollar jar in our office that if you use the E word, you have to put a dollar in the jar. Everyone's a teammate. It's one big team.
Right.
But having genuine relationships with the teammates and with clients, allowing those teammates to do what they really want to do, which is they want to take care of people. They want to make other people's lives better. They want to improve other people's lives. Just get the heck out of the way. Don't give them the wrong incentives. Give them the right incentives to do that. And what happens is, pardon me, clients are really, really happy. And they tell their friends. And they tell their family. And then the teammates tell their friends. And they attract more teammates. And other businesses in our industry start knocking on our door saying, I love the culture you have. That culture is great. Can we join your organization? So what started out as really a plan to take care of $180 million worth of client assets, here we are in 2024, and we have $3.5 billion of client assets, and we have just grown by being genuine and taking care of clients. And it's the shocking thing to me is how rare that is in our profession. And it's all because of the incentives. The incentives in our profession over time have been misaligned with what the client actually wants.
Right.
So I think just the business model allows us to do that holistic financial planning, take care of everything, take all that stress off of a client's shoulders, take care of them, allow our teammates to do their best work, not feel the pressure to do anything other than to take care of clients. And it's, we've got this, it is magical, the relationships we have with clients and the relationship we have within the firm. It's I mean, you feel it when you come into our office.
It's a wonderful open environment.
Yeah.
Very accepting and you know, nurturing.
Yeah.
And you know, I always love coming by and meeting with you and Kevin and the rest of the team. And you know, look, it's a great story. You guys have done phenomenal on your approach to working. The culture, the transparency,
Thank you. You
know, what's best for your clients. Obviously, it's you're just getting started, you know, and I think Connecticut Wealth Management is going to be one of the premier top, firms in the area for years to come. And really happy that you had the chance and took the opportunity to come by and appreciate your time. I know you got a lot going on.
Thank you.
And maybe we'll have you, if you have time, maybe we'll have you back. We'll kind of continue this dialogue and maybe bring another one of your team members along and we can just, catch up on what's going on at Connecticut Wealth Management and how you're seeing the marketplace.
Well, we appreciate the partnership with you and the work that you folks do. You also have built a great team of folks there that
thank you.
You have similar types of relationships with your clients, and it's nice to see someone who on your side of that business have really sincere, genuine relationships with your business owner clients.
Well, we appreciate that. And with that, we're going to wrap things up. I want to thank you for being here today. My name is Keith D., President of Osage Advisors. If you're interested or you like our podcast, please feel free to hit the like button or subscribe on our YouTube channel. To learn more about Osage Advisors, you can visit our website at osageadvisors.com. You can email me with any questions at kdee@osageadvisors.com or happy to get on the phone with you and pick up the phone. Give me a call at 860-767-3273, extension 1001. Thanks again for your time and have a great day.